Now broadcasting the webcomic Beacon.
Welcome to episode 35 of the Webcomic Beacon. This is Fess of Fessworks.com, and with me is Aaron of TiboComic.com.
Yay.
And we are missing Tanya this week because she is at, what is that? Comic-Con. That's right. That's because we're not cool enough, I guess.
Gas is expensive.
Well, that it is. And with us today, we have... Shoot.
Delos
of Comic Fencing. Of ComicFencing.com, and that's fencing with a C and not an S, because you'd be spelling it wrong. Comic Fencing, well, we're going to start off talking about that. Could you tell us what Comic Fencing is?
Comic Fencing is a review site where you can we choose one comic every week, and you get five different opinions, usually five, anyway, five different opinions on the given comic to tell whether you like it or whether you might not. And we have a little discussion about it afterwards in the comments, and hopefully, you know, gives readers a chance to see something maybe they haven't seen before.
Alrighty. And as far as review sites go, does this have, well, I guess other than the obvious, a sort of gimmick where you basically try to rip on the comic, or is it fairly varied in what the opinions are of the main reviewers?
Well, I personally, I have a little webcomic on the side, so I understand that, you know, you can't be good at everything all at once, all the time.
Right.
And so I tend to be a little more mild, maybe. A couple of the other reviewers call me the neutral reviewer, because I don't slam anybody, but some of the other reviewers are a little more verbose. They go right to the point and the throat and tell you exactly what they think, no questions asked. So there's a nice mix, I think.
Well, that's cool. And from what I've seen on the site, you let people know what you're going to be reviewing next. Is that that's standard routine, I'm guessing?
Yes. I usually try to have that posted by the following Monday. The reviews go up Fridays, and we try to let folks know what's coming by the next Monday so that they can check out the comic for themselves and see what they think.
I like that. I like that angle because... you open it up and let people, you know, see if they'll agree with the reviewers first versus what most people do. They just, you know, get right on the bandwagon of whatever the reviewer is saying, and you know, you get the people that are like diehard fans that just blindly defend a comic, or you get people that are like, yeah, that sucks, but yeah, you're always right, yeah, cool.
It's called groupthink.
Groupthink.
It's called groupthink versus fanboys. Which is, maybe you might want to get that URL now. I don't know.
I'm sure it'll be
So, you guys are hosted on the Rampage Network, is that correct?
Yeah, he was kind enough to host us and carry our bandwidth for us.
Well, that's awesome.
And help bring, he actually brought in one of the reviewers too, so he was a very helpful guy.
Cool.
There, John.
Well, the Webcomic Beacon is looking to be moving their hosting from Zephyr.net to the Rampage Network starting in August, I believe, as soon as we get all the site and coding sorted out.
Oh, that's very cool.
So, coming next episode, we'll probably be putting them on both sites and doing the transition the week after that completely. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's, you know... Some code troubles here with WordPress and whatnot, but...
Oh, sure.
Some code troubles in air quotes.
Yeah. I'll be tackling that this week. We should have all the bugs worked out right now. I guess you guys worked from the ground up. You didn't have to transfer anything?
No, yeah, we started with a clean WordPress install and worked our way up. So I can sympathize with your troubles. I've tried to set up some other installations elsewhere, and it's kind of a pain sometimes to get things jiggered up. So
already, go ahead.
I was gonna say, it's my turn to ask a question.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
How do you guys find your comics? Do all of you just read so many that you have an endless list? Do people submit, or is it magic? What happens?
We pull out the crystal ball. No.
Actually, show us a new comic we haven't read before. Mwah.
Yeah.
No? Sort of?
No evil laughter. No. I have a list of comics that I thought would be a good fit for the format, you know, and actually we've got, I don't know how many requests now, but I'm trying to work them in so that we get a variety of comics. You might have a long drama series one week, and then the next comic's a short gag comic, and then the next one might be color, you know, the mini drama type thing. So I try to break it up a little bit so we're not doing the same tropes all the time.
Well, so what are your criteria for reviewing? I mean, we talk about reviewing all the time, and we all have personal criterias. So talk about yours.
Oh, please. You know, well, some people make a big deal about things like sprite comics and the different kinds. And I don't think we're too worried about that. What we generally want to stay away from is anything that's too adult. You know, something that my kids couldn't read, you know.
Okay.
It's other than that, it's pretty open. You know, we're not snobs when it comes to the kinds of comics or anything. So.
Well, archive length?
There should be a page actually on the comic sensing site that's got the everything.
Where is it? I can't find.
Oh, it should be across the top. I'm sorry.
Well, I see about viewers' suggestions.
And then that should be the archives right there. So that should tell you what we've reviewed.
Oh no! I think he was asking like the archives of the comics you read, like how big or deep.
Oh, I guess I got to listen closer. Actually, I'm one of the reviewers. I try to read. Actually, pretty much everything. If not every page, then at least 90%.
Do you like them to have 100 pages before you review it?
Oh, okay, I see. I'm very sorry. you got to use small words with me, apparently.
I'm sorry.
Actually, No. As long as they have, if it's ongoing and it looks like it's going to be continuing, then, you know, we generally will consider reviewing it. It doesn't have to be a certain number of pages necessarily. We don't want to, you know, of course, promote something that has 5 pages in it and there's never another update again. That would kind of be pointless. But.
Yeah.
Oh. But there's no... Sorry, go ahead.
No, finish.
Oh, no, there's no minimum...
Finish.
No strict minimum, anyway.
Well, already, can you tell us a little bit about each of the fencers, I guess? I don't know, what are you, fighters?
Musketeers.
Musketeers, they look
like. Yeah, kind of musketeers in the picture there. Let's see, well, you're probably familiar with Larry Cruz. He reviews comics for Comics Talk and a number of other sites, too, as well. He's got his Wu-Tang style, and he usually comes right from the hip and tells you exactly what he thinks and puts a little bit of an interesting spin on it. And then you have his name is The Doctor, I guess is what he's going by these days, and he will approach things as somebody who's not especially interested in comics but came along and saw your comic, and this is what he thinks. Hmm. And he's kind of old school. He's not a big fan of anime. Or manga, or manga, am I saying it right now?
Sure.
And he will be right up front with you and tell you exactly where he stands. Myself, I come at things from an artist standpoint. This is what, you know, a creator standpoint. This is what I think. This is what I noticed. I kind of like this. I'm not a big fan of that, whatever the case may be. And,
right.
You know, like I said, I've described as neutral. So, And let's see. There's also Jack Carter, who's had some difficulties lately. But he's a kind of a thoughtful reviewer type. He'll think a little bit deeper than what he just sees, and he'll kind of let you know what he was feeling and thinking as he's progressing your comic. did I miss somebody?
Hang on 1 second.
Oh, yep, sure.
Someone just join us?
I'm going to kill TalkShoe.
got to turn down your speakers a little bit. We're getting some double feedback.
Oh, sorry about that.
This is John, right?
Yeah.
We're already talking about the Musketeers of comic fencing right now, and we got D-Loss on the line right now too. So,
mm-hmm. Hey, John.
Yeah.
So John's here. So D-Loss, just continue with what you were going.
I was just going to tell you about Talkin, or Anthony Cardino. He joined us, and he will give you a pretty decent, thorough examination of your comic. He'll let you know where he thinks you're strong and where he thinks you're weak. I think that's pretty straightforward. But what they say, thanks.
Are you still there?
Did he disappear?
No, you disappeared.
Oh, I did.
You wanted to thank somebody, I think.
Oh, just thank John for helping get us all together. We've never actually spoken on the phone before.
So. All right.
That's what we do. We bring people together. We rebuild families. Sort of.
And then we make it the things afterwards. who else? Is there any? Did you go through everybody already? Or did I
believe so.
Well, alrighty. If not, sorry.
No, that's okay.
let's see here. Whose idea was comic fencing, or how did it? What was? You know what I'm trying to ask.
Yeah.
How did it get started?
Yeah.
Hmm? if John's there, he can answer if he wants. It's fine.
John
or whatever.
I'll let you take it, D-Loss.
Somebody answer the question.
Okay. John actually approached me with an idea about having a very solid review site, because there's some review sites out there, but nobody's, I don't say nobody, but sometimes it can be a little insistent, and it'd be nice to have somewhere to go every week to find, to look at something new, for sure, on schedule, on time. And, so then at that point, I kind of brainstormed about what could a review site offer that individual reviewers couldn't get on their own site. And a five-way match-off against a comic, it sounded like a little more interesting than the standard fare. So.
Yep, I mean, it seems like review sites these days always got to have some sort of like gimmick to really hold people, give people a reason to you know, to go ahead and read it, because, you know, everyone and their dog seems to have a webcomic review site these days, huh?
Yep.
There is a... yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of comics out there. There's plenty of material, so...
Right. What are some other webcomic review sites that you still think are valid or worth checking out still?
Well, of course, there's Webcomic Beacon sometimes talks about comics, right? Towards the end of your shows, right?
Yeah, I've heard them do a few.
I don't like that show, personally. I think they're biased towards Mega Man comics and Ninja Pirates.
And Ninja Pirates.
Ninja Pirates.
let's see. You know, Comics Talk also has some, and... I've actually got a number of the bookmarks on my own favorites to check out once in a while. But those are the three I lasted anyway.
I'm gonna have to toss in the digital strips. They do some pretty good reviews once in a while.
Are they updating again?
Yeah, they haven't stopped as far as I know.
Oh, okay. So they must be going strong again. I remember we talked about them one time when we did our general webcomic review show, and they weren't updating at that point. And then I think they started updating for a while or something like that. So they must still be going good right now. So, all right, cool. Let's see here. Well, I guess we expected to have more people on the show, so I don't really think there's much more to talk about, unless there's something I'm missing.
No, just want to thank everybody for their attention and their time, and keep coming back, and hopefully we'll keep you entertained.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on the show. Again, you can check out Comic Fencing at, comicfencing.com.
Good job on the URL, by the way. Most people have stupid URLs.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having us.
No problem. We're going to reset TalkShoe here in a moment, and we're going to take a quick break.
The Webcomic Beacon is an affiliate of The Geek Media. The Geek Media has a number of geek-related podcasts, blogs, and videos for you to enjoy. Check out thegeekmedia.com. Have news, milestones, questions, or comments? Send your audio clips or email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
This is Byron of StriftFight.org, bringing you the weekly ringside update. Round 167,
secret
recipe, went to Raygun. Raygun Strip gave us all the recipe for his very special club sandwich. This week, our fighters take to the forest for round 168, talking trees. Vince takes revenge. C-Bench smokes the competition. Nico has an axe to grind. Lisa shines in the spotlight. Defending champ Raygun tries to pick up where he left off. Aaron taunts, and Tim goes back to his roots. This week, 7 tree-hugging contenders have entered the round. Go and vote for your favorite strip. The next round, 169, Games of Nature, still has a few days left before the deadline on August 3rd. Get those entries in. StripFight.org. May the best comic win.
And now, Mark Savory with a webcomic review.
Admit it. We've all had comments pop up in our head that never make it out of our mouths, which is a good thing. In these days of political correctness, we've all been told that now we have to be openly and actively sensitive to others. If not, we run the risk of being blasted by the PC Gestapo. Not a pleasant prospect. So when I came across this comic, it was a breath of fresh air. Politically correct? Not hardly. But that's what makes it so funny. It's wrong. But I found myself laughing through the whole archive, and I suspect you will too. I'm talking about Inappropriate Irving by E.M. over at drunkduck.com. Inappropriate Irving is about a schlub of a guy who, for some reason, always says the wrong thing at the wrong time to the wrong person. No matter if he's at the bus stop with his girlfriend in HR or the men's room, the Chinese restaurant, Irving will undoubtedly make a comment that raises the hackles of those around him. For example, he might comment to the HR lady that she has a nice rack, or ask a coworker if she's always been a woman. He may talk about his bowel problems, masturbation issues, or try to convince his girlfriend to give up the back door, quote-unquote. He may ponder why a friend isn't cheap, even though he's Jewish. He may even ask the waiter at the Chinese restaurant if cat is on the menu. Well, you get the idea, and those are only the tame ones. Is it especially new? Well, no. South Park was there first, and legions of webcomics that are little more than South Park ripoffs. But Inappropriate Irving is funny. So why is it that a comic like this can succeed Where so many other comics attempting to tackle this kind of material have failed, and failed dismally. I think it boils down to two reasons. First, Irving isn't angry or hateful. He's just completely oblivious as to why his comments might offend people. It isn't that he doesn't care, but that he just doesn't get it. He's missing that filter between his brain and his mouth that keeps most people from making these kind of comments that Irving makes. On top of that, he can't process the obvious fact that there are just some things you shouldn't say. Irving honestly wants to know, when he asks Tiny Tina, a midget, if a midget got in on a threesome, would that make it a two-and-a-half-some? Second, whenever Irving makes these comments, the balance of the cast look shocked, perplexed, angry, or offended. They're what clues us in that Irving has made yet another mistake. You never see anyone laughing at what Irving says or agreeing with him. Ever since South Park, novice webcomicers have tried taking the same path with this kind of material, and for the most part, they fail because they ignore these two very important factors. That's what makes Irving so good. In a way, he's so obviously stupid. You almost feel sorry for him. He's actually sympathetic. The cartoonist isn't making this comic just to say naughty words or phrases. He's making a point. You can't just say stuff like that. But what if you could? What if you did? Inappropriate Irving by EM over at drunkduck.com. Do check it out. I'm Mark Savory, and until we meet again, take care.
For more from Mark, visit autumnlake.com. Has your webcomic stalled on the side of the internet? It's Webcomic Rescue.
Yes, hello. Is this the rescue line?
This is the rescue. This is Webcomic Rescue. How's it going?
Woohoo, not bad, and you?
Oh, I'm coming down with something. I'm just kidding.
Good.
You need good. To get more blueberries.
This is...
We're here today to save your comic.
Yeah.
It's kind of a trailer-saving show, except we're not funny.
You're not funny!
I'm not. Only Fess is funny.
Well, all right.
Doesn't matter.
All right, we are... What is... You actually
I like
go...
Your
you go by...
Site, by the way. Oh, sorry.
Uh-huh. I love how Aaron just interrupts me.
I'm not interrupting you. We're talking at the same time, and they're like...
Blah, blah, blah. All right, do you really go by Dumb Bum?
Yeah.
All right, we're...
So that way, like, I'm getting, like, insulted all the time, and I'm getting used to it.
Okay.
It's good. For the webcomic world, it's good.
We're with Dumb Bum of the Minos the Minotaur?
Minos the Minotaur.
Of minus dash the dash minotaur dash comic dash.
Go with minos.dumbum.net. Actually where the regs.
All right, we'll go with that. Otherwise, we're gonna have to make fun of you. The first thing would have to be to fix the URL.
I know. I have a redirect on it, so come on. People can join me from comicofthemonth.com. So much easier than mine.
We were just talking about it.
Well, he just did this too. Like, he just changed his link within like the last
2 days.
Yeah, 2 days. Yeah. Good job. Make me look like a moron. Making you long ass URL with dashes. Don't put dashes in your URL.
Oh, come on. Everything has a purpose.
No, because then when you tell people the URL, you have to go minos dash the dash minotaur dash comic dot dumbbum.net.
Or you can actually just go minos the minotaur comic all with dashes dot dumbbum.net.
Get it? There's a dash in between each letter.
That would be cool.
All right. So when did you start Minos?
We actually started like a bit longer than a year ago, and. It actually started just as a fun little project, and it was like no way intended to be a web comic, and just grew from there. Well, grew, and I don't know what direction, but if you read the jokes, probably not in a good way.
The direction of poop.
Exactly.
A lot of webcomics start as, well, I'm just going to do something, and then suddenly it turns into something, and then you're stuck with all the mistakes that you did at the beginning because you didn't restart or anything.
Exactly.
So when did you start running into trouble? Like, when is, did you go into a hiatus, or did you just kind of paint yourself into a corner a little bit ago? Or?
Well, I never go on hiatus, actually. Like, Monos comes out, like, every week or so. Well, I don't have a fixed schedule, so it's supposed to be every week or bi-weekly most of the time.
Okay.
And I actually start from a strip from Totally Anything at All. Well, not anything at all, but another comic, which is quite good. But I actually just start from anything and make little story arcs of 2-3 strips max.
But he wants a big story arc to last him a long time.
Exactly.
All right. Well, one of the ways to make some story arc last a long time is to do what you're doing, updating once a week. of course, the more often you update, typically the more often the greater the readers and the audience becomes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're looking to develop a long story. The one thing that you want to think about is the kind of story that you want to do. A lot of times when people are like typically a gag a day where there's no particular story, a lot of times what I've seen is that they start doing something a little bit more serious, a little bit more drama in it. Whether or not this is a good tactic, we can discuss another time. But what type of feeling of story, what type do you want to have your story to be?
All right. Well, typically, Minos is like set in antiquity, and I would like to keep it there.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, my story is very simple. He's stuck in his maze. He's fed up of it, and he's quite an idiot most of the time. Well, all the time. So he has to react very, very badly to like a normal situation. So the main thing for me would be like, since his maze is supposedly huge, he should walk in places that he has never been before and can end up having, like, different adventures according to whatever it is. Like, I don't know, he can end up, like, off the bat an illegal gambling room run by mafia or something, like an antique type of mafia, and he manages not to get killed. Like, he's so stupid. So that would be, like, probably something that could be funny. But yet again, I can even, like, bring in, I don't know, like, the Amazonas or something, and you could, once again, manage not to get killed. Everything that can make his life miserable, I'm willing to take it. If it involves poop, even better.
So is, just thinking about, is a time period, do you want to keep it in an ancienter like time period, or is deviating to something a little bit more modern an option for you?
Technically, he's going to remain in his ancient period, but we don't know for how long he's been stuck there. I'm saying 400 years, but it could be like 4,000. He's that stupid, he can't count time.
Right.
So technically, he could have like people from NASA coming in. It would equally be funny for me, as long as he manages to do something stupid with it.
Okay, and is he allowed to leave his maze pyramid?
No.
No, so...
Well, I think the maze, it seems to be so big that it actually even has a marketplace in the maze, right?
Yeah.
Because there's other people living in it, too, I think.
Yeah, well, the fun part of it is, like, initially it was supposed to be a labyrinth, which is a one-way in, one-way out.
Right.
And I decided to switch that for a maze, so it's, like, more complicated. And the joke is he can't find the exit. Well, it seems everybody else can go in and out. But he can't manage to follow anybody out of it. Or every single thing he tries to end up as an exit, he's too stupid. He blows it. So he can't get out. That's for sure, he can't get out. If he gets out from the maze, he has to end up in another trap place. You know, like, I don't know.
All right, so that's the parameter.
Yeah.
So we got a parameter. Has there been anything? One thing that's good for any webcomic, especially with story, is going back to something that was left off, like a plot seed. Yeah. Has there been any objects which he's had and lost? Because then you can make it a search and adventure story.
Yeah. Well, of course, like, honestly, he lost his mind, that's for sure. Something that he I have like left some story arcs open and they're intended that way because I would like to continue them, like let's say on in a graphic novel or something, like the one, for instance, that gets cursed from the goddesses way back, mm-hmm. and he ends up being another monster. What he has lost technically is probably if he lost something, he can remember that he had the key of the maze.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to do that, he has to find the door, and then he figures out he doesn't have the key. So yeah, he can like get stuck in a very long way of going back and forth and trying to find that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yet again, if you actually want to make like a full like story of like gags, you can be stuck like trying to this. Well, he could decide that he wants to get like the help from a god, let's say like something like Aphrodite.
Mm-hmm.
So he's gonna go, you know what? I have to be like loving to everyone, so all I have to do is like find like 10 or 15 subjects for his Minotaur love, and of course he's gonna be neglecting his son all the way, you know. So. Well, of course, you know, he can't be nice to his son. That would be, like, entirely wrong.
Oh, yeah, that'd be wrong.
I think whatever you do, it needs to involve... It's either his girlfriend or his wife. I'm going backwards to try to remember exactly what happened with his...
The girlfriend you're talking about, like, the drawing, right?
Yeah, and I read that arc over and over and over because I loved it so much.
The one with the spider?
Yes, it's gotta involve that. It's so funny. Well, to me, it was hilarious, I thought.
Yeah, well, I'm actually gonna bring her back soon, but I don't know if we can stay together, you know? They're so incompatible in characters.
Well, that's why it's funny. Well, I like the drawing, I do, where he's the drawing, but I like the spider, too. I like them both.
Yeah.
Well, I got an idea. It's probably it might be a little cliche, but it might get some gears going. Have you ever played Animal Crossing?
I play that game every day.
The video game?
Yeah, the video game.
Whoa! I remember like playing a version of it like way back.
Okay.
On the GameCube.
I'll recap it for everyone listening. Animal Crossing is a Nintendo game where basically there's really no point, I guess, except to like pay off the loan to your house. But really, the whole game is about social interactions with the other, you know, computer characters in the game, and it involves a lot of sending virtual letters to the characters, planning stuff, growing things. But one major thing is basically talking to somebody. Oh, I lost this. Can you go to what's his face and get it back for me? And sometimes you go on like these little runs, and it's like, well. You go and try to get this thing, and then they lent it to somebody else, so you have to go to somebody else, and you have to, like, you know, return things to various people. Maybe something like that. Like, maybe he's looking for the key, or his mind, or a bag of marbles. You know, you can make a he-lost-his-marbles joke or something like that. And then he keeps getting sidetracked and trying to find these things, and then maybe end it sort of like he has, like, all these different things that are not what he's looking for. Or maybe he just thinks... Mm-hmm. Why do I have all these things? So he starts like eating the stuff or playing with it or something. I don't know. But
well, honestly, like I think the best way to go with that is like as soon as he goes to like from one point to the other, it's extremely logical what he has to do, and he can trust me. I'll come up with the stupidest possible way he can screw everything up. Or actually what he can do, he can have like a multiple, let's say if it's the key, he can have a multiple copies of the key circulating, and he manages to destroy every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to find who's going to have like all those keys lying around. Well, he might have even hidden them himself. He's that stupid. It wouldn't be that difficult. What?
Well,
no, it's so funny. The comic. I'm sitting on episode 45 right now, and he's loving the spider, and then the picture finds him, and it's just I keep cracking up because, like, how we talked about on email.
Mm-hmm.
If you have goals for him, you can just keep putting gags in the middle, and so like how Fest was talking about, basically like a quest kind of put like in air quotes like a quest engine. In your comic, where he has, like, all of a sudden a booth pops up where a guy's giving quests for no reason, and he's always looking for money. But even though he can never, buy anything. But well, isn't he always?
He's not trying to buy anything. He's just trying to pay off for his son.
Right. And so he needs money so he can do the quest engine, which is kind of it's cliche too. But you know, in between doing the quests, that's where you fit the gags, and then he can always do something really stupid with the very useful rewards that he gets.
Yeah.
Like, or get legitimately good rewards.
Or even wreck the things that he's supposed to find. Like, forget why he has it. And
quest
he's
failed.
And or like, he returns it, and then they're asked, what'd you do? It's like, were you chewing on this? And I thought there was chocolate in it or something. You know, that's kind of a cliche joke, but you kind of get what the idea is. Basically, how I do my comic is where I have a goal. Like, I set up a goal. Okay, I eventually want them to get to point A, and I want this to happen. And I don't really write it out as well as finely structured when I'm on a good roll. And I just kind of let things unfold until they get there, knowing that I have to get to that goal, that point. So that's, you know, like Aaron was saying, that's where you fit in your gags. You don't need to structure it so strictly, especially with being traditionally a gag a day. And then eventually you'll develop your own routine because you are kind of set in a longer story. So you also improve your storytelling, in that same fashion. At least that's from my experience anyway.
Yeah.
And that's what I do too. I have, you know, my whole comic structured like this: point A to point B, and then I just make up kind of whatever happens in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I just do that every single episode.
Yeah. Well, technically, at this point, what I'm also like looking at is like I've done like two crossovers thus far: one for with Tony Piro from Calamities of Nature, and one from White CL. Well, the last three strips or so. And that's like what I was thinking, like cut in like the long story arc is like having like other special features coming in from other comics and flipping
like a paladin
things from them.
Well, that'd be more like a cameo or because crossover is actually both comics will do something together or they'll be canon or share part of it.
The one for White CL, we did it like on both comics with a real crossover.
Mm-hmm.
The one for Calamities, I just landed me one of his strips that I actually thought was a very weird punchline. And it was the one he was like having his amazing little dream.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually ended up being quite funny, I think. Not like the spider, but still good.
No, Calamities of Nature is a good comic, so...
Well, if you are interested in trying to find some people to do crossovers with, you can actually check out on our homepage. We have a link underneath promotion to the webcomic crossover and cameo archive, and there's a link to a forum, and there's a section for crossovers and cameos. There's about the archive itself, and then where there's a link for where the worlds come together. And you can say you're looking for cameos or crossover ideas. They got kind of a community of the of themselves going, and sometimes you can get a little bit something going on from there. But that's where I go for basically for anything kind of crossovery right now. And they actually got something coming up this fall, this for October. Called the Halloween Cameo Caper, and even though you update only once a week, you can even do a little something. Though technically, the location what they're doing right now is in a mall that's in Britain. Though not everyone's going to be doing their mall that is actually in Britain, because not everyone can do that. But that could be something that you could get on for like one or two strips where you're not totally plot dependent upon it, and but you can still kind of link to it. So that's an idea, and sometimes people there can help you out with finding people who'd be interested in and just posting in, say, like the webcomic list forums, looking for short crossover. You might get a few people biting on that.
Mm-hmm. Not bad. Actually, I really like the idea of like having him running around to get his quest done.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the way I would imagine it would be like I would have to have like a little magic type of character that's going to walk in and like give him a deadline. If he gets him something, he's going to bring him out. So, of course, he's going to get lured into it. It could even be like a little amazing telemarketing scam or something. But,
a pyramid scheme, maybe. Yeah, and at the very end, it's like, now if you just get two other people.
Yeah.
Well, it could be fun because he has no idea how many people live in his maze. So.
Right.
Yeah, it could be a good idea. I imagine him like using his great marketing skills to sell something else than his amazing manure that I'm not even sure it qualifies as it. So I think it's a good idea.
Well, cool. Well, we're coming up at the end of our time here. So what we've discussed, you think you got something pretty good to go off of?
Yeah, sure, man. I can actually, I put it all together. I can count on my amazingly crazy dysfunctional mind to get things going wrongly. So I can be sure I'm going to make long little story arc with a little quest. So.
And feel free to email us, too, if you have any...
Sure. Yeah. Who knows? You might even find a paladin in it.
Yes!
Awesome. So, yeah. All right. Well, Dumb Bum.
Yes.
Hopefully we've rescued your comic for at least the next story arc.
Yeah, cool.
And again, you can check out Minos the Minotaur at Minos-the-...
Minos.dombum.net. It's going to be perfect. Or yet
awesome.
Again, you can actually get it from comicofthemonth.com. That's where my form is.
Awesome. All right, everybody, check those out. And if you got some ideas, I suppose they'll probably bother you in your form or send you an email or something like that. So, awesome.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks again for coming.
I thank you for having me on the show.
All right, and that's it for our first webcomic rescue. We're going to take a break and be right back.
All right, bye.
Would you like to get involved with the Beacon? Just send to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
I'm sorry about all the laughing, but his comic is freaking hilarious.
You are just a weird little guy. I never know what's gonna you got a very varied emotional scale going on over there. Sometimes you can sound so deadpan, and then sometimes you just laugh hysterically.
I'm sorry. You know how he found my comic? Because he found me actually quite a while ago. He and I. I used to use the exact same program to make our comics,
mm-hmm.
which was Comic Book Creator. Me and him used the same program, and he found my comic somehow and messaged me. He's like, "We use the same program," and it was weird because even though Comic Book Creator is massively popular and everyone uses it, the amount of people that use it for web comics that any of us actually know is very, very small. So,
what is this? Is this something that does stuff online, or...?
If you're looking, you see, his speech bubbles?
Yeah.
If you look at my old stuff, the speech bubbles are exactly the same. The program makes all of that stuff, and you can scale it all. And those frames that he has, you can make those frames yourself and just stick it in a program. It's not horribly powerful, and they update the program and make you repay for it so much, so I finally stopped using it. But it makes the whole entire layout, and you can do all the text with it. All you need to do is draw it and scale it. And if you look at all my old stuff, it looks exactly the same as his. I do my stuff in Flash now, but he still uses Comic Book Creator. It's
so,
a good
program. It costs, basically, and no matter what?
Well, it's a just a piece of software, so you have to buy it. But the problem is they released so many damn versions that I got fed up.
Do you have to upgrade in order to keep using it?
No, but the problem is like originally it had so few
options,
features. Yeah, and options. In fact, an early build didn't PNGs didn't even work on an early build.
Oh wow!
And they patched that, but then Vista came out, and you had to buy a new version to work with Vista. And the new version cost a fortune, but I kind of...
Hello.
One second, Tanya. What was that? The new version cost a fortune? You basically said, screw it?
No, I talked them down, way down in price. But they're like, okay, we want you to fax us your credit card number, and it has to say this, and you have to fax it to a certain person. And they didn't tell anybody, like, it wasn't on their website anywhere. About the discounted price, and so I was really wary. And not only that, but the original version that I had paid for, they took the link down and said, oh, we never had that link up in the first place. I was like, how the hell do you think I downloaded it? And then all of a sudden they come back like a week later, oh, I've been on vacation. Yeah, we had the link up all along. Please don't tell anybody about it. And so I buy it, and I swear, like a month later, this was like a brand new version, and like a month or two later, already brand new version online web app that you had to pay the full price for again.
They sound like douchebags.
And I'm like, screw you guys. Well, you know, they got popular and greedy.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, speaking of popular and greedy, we have Tanya over at the Comic-Con Comic-Con right now. And there's a bunch of popular and greedy people there, aren't they?
There are billions of popular and greedy people here. I'm currently multitasking, taking a picture, changing my shirt, and walking down the crowd. So it's crazy. We're 2 weeks away from Bob the Angry Flower. We've got Looking for Group and PvP and Penny Arcade's right across the way, Curl Genius. It's nuts.
Oh, sweet. Did you manage to talk to anybody and get some sound bites?
We're getting our sound bites today at the end of con. It's just been too nuts. It's too hard because there's too many people. So they clear everybody out of here at 5, and then while everybody's tearing down their booths, we're going to go around, and I've got interviews all scheduled and
awesome.
Fun.
And Tanya, you need it so to say, this is PvP Online, and you're listening to the Webcomic Beacon.
That's the plan. Yes.
Awesome. Can you tell us about the webcomic presence at Comic-Con right now?
The webcomic presence?
Yes, how is it? Is it good? Is it strong? Or is it kind of, oh, hey, there's one?
You know, actually, I'm in a small press section, which is way in the back. And in small press, we're actually really well represented. A lot of the smaller kind of lesser-known comics have teamed up with some bigger comics so that they have a space. You know, and then you have, like, the groupings. Something Positive, Devil's Panties, and Two Lumps are all at a booth together. XKCD's sharing booth space with White Ninja. So actually, I mean, it's pretty good. A lot of the really small comics are walking around handing out pamphlets and cards because, you know, it's expensive to actually have a booth here. But wandering around, I've seen a lot of different people. I saw Peter Tarkovich, our very own reviewer for a while there, was walking around giving out his information. So,
oh, hey, that's cool.
I'm tired. It's nuts. And you can hear that it's crazy. Yeah, and this is the smallest day.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, yesterday there were more than 200,000 people floating around, so...
Well, when you get back, we got to talk about conventions a bit more.
That's good. I feel experienced now. I've done the big boy, so I can pretend to be an expert.
Have you taken your airborne?
I'm not. My voice is already a little funky. I'm already coming down with the con crud, but that's all right. I walked around all day yesterday in my wolf and vagina clothing T-shirt, and a bunch of people took pictures of my boobs, which is kind of weird. And and then today it's the only the bisexuals can save us. So there will probably be more pictures of my boobs just floating around on the internet.
What is the name of the shirt?
Yesterday's was wolf in vagina clothing, and today's is only the bisexuals can save us.
That's funny. And so wrong.
It's good. It's true. It's right. It's all right.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a good old fun time. Can you estimate how much this con is costing you?
Oh, how much it's costing me? What do you think? We're $2,500 down?
Oh, gosh.
Holy crap.
Price, how much are we down? A little over $2,000? Yeah. We're a little over $2,000 down. And I've made back, I think, what, $80? Yeah. This is the big sales day, though. We're pushing a lot more merchandise today. Generally, people go get, like, the hard-to-find, the rare items or the con-exclusive items on Friday and Saturday.
Right.
And then Sunday is when they buy everything else. So the booth is pumping.
Awesome.
So I make up, $140 on my $2,000. Yeah, I don't think that small press people come to Comic-Con to make money. You know, it's more an opportunity to hand out business cards and flyers and get people aware of your work and have them come check it out. So,
and maybe geek out and nerd out in front of a bunch of people that you want to see.
There is a lot of that, yeah. There's a lot of, like, please don't puke, please don't puke, please don't puke, going and talking to people, but all in all, it's pretty good. And it's always nice when, like, somebody comes up and, like, I've been looking for you. Oh, all right. I've been abandoned. I'm alone at the booth. No good can.
Oh. All right. Well, should we let you get going back to the con then and not thrown up?
That sounds good. And
awesome.
And we've been featured on a couple of different podcasts as they came by. I made sure to give them all the links. So
awesome. Well, we'll have to get all of them in the notes once you come back and we do a show about your experience at Comic-Con and talking about even more conventions.
Sounds brilliant. I will see you soon.
All right. Have fun.
Be safe.
Bye.
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 Bye-bye. Bye. What are you all, Minnesotans here? We got to say bye 12 times?
I don't know.
Just me. That's one of the things. You always got to say goodbye, goodbye. You're supposed to say like four different goodbyes before you actually leave.
Usually with me on the phone, I'm saying goodbye to like the dial tone because I just got hung up on.
Well, you already said goodbye, and I'm like, you're not stopping saying goodbye. You said goodbye.
I say goodbye until someone hangs up the phone.
Goodbye. Bye. Bye. But you're still here. Bye. Bye.
Well, all right, they'll just keep talking.
That's true. You know how many times that I try to say goodbye and then you bring up something else and then we got to talk about that and then I got to say goodbye again. Then somebody else brings up something else. Oh, one more thing.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It happens at work too.
So let's see. Do we have any milestones this week? I don't think we do. Actually,
I don't think so.
I missed a couple last week, which I actually spliced in during the editing process because I didn't want to wait a whole nother week. But I'm gonna.
I was pissed because I missed one from June. Spiky haired dragon, worthless knight hit 700 in June, and I missed it. I was pissed. Oh, well.
Back in June, spiky dragon and whatever knight. It's 700 comics.
Yay, I'm sorry, dude.
What's the name of it again?
Spiky Haired Dragon Worthless Knight. 700 freaking episodes. This guy is a machine.
Well, how often does he update?
Two times a week. Well, I think he was updating three times a week, and then he knocked it down to two, but the guy's a machine.
Well, doesn't he also, like you have like an extra little offshoot thing you throw up once in a while, and he has one of those too.
Yeah, I know.
Is the 700 a part of that?
No. His dragon has his own comic. Or he used to. I'm not sure if he stopped doing that. But yeah, his dragon has his own episodes. Or he used to. Yeah, the guy's a machine. So.
Yeah, that one's called Spikey's World.
Yep. Yep. Good stuff. And if you vote for him, he has a little CG spore version of his dragon, which looks awesome.
Oh man, Buzz Comics is down.
Top Web Comics has it. I can just send you the.
No, I got it. I got it. Okay. Oh wow, that's crazy. I should play with a spore creator.
Dude, I can't get it installed. It installs.
Do you have Vista?
You have no XP.
Okay.
It says you have the wrong version of DirectX. It's like, no, I don't.
I just downloaded it again, I guess. No, I don't want Vista at all. Let's see. How many does? Oh, well, okay. All right. We have...
We have to review a comic.
Well, it's not a review. It's an impression. Through the Beacon Searchlight.
Woo, woo, woo. Woo, woo.
Boy, we're off our game this week a little bit, and we're just being crazy.
Did you want to go first this time so it doesn't seem like I'm being as mean as I was last time? Or do you want me to go first so you can leverage my meanness? No?
No, you go ahead first. I think it's better when I don't go first.
Okay, so I took notes. Mwah. So this week we're reviewing or giving our impression of a comic called randomaxcomics.com. So I took notes. First of all, I like the comic. Wink, wink. It has varying line weights, which I don't like. The comic, or the foreground is much darker than the background, which could be stylish. It could have to do with their technique or their skill, but it gets really annoying after a while because it's really hard to focus on the background when the foreground has very, very dark lines. And I know you can't have the background have dark lines and the foreground have light lines, because that would really screw things up. But seriously, it gets annoying and it kind of washes out the background. Next thing, the bubble's not in the right speech order. I think that was more prevalent in the early stuff, but it gets annoying because a lot of times, I mean, if you look at the speech bubbles, they don't even have arrows pointing to whoever's talking, or sometimes there's just text in a box, and it's like, oh, text in the box. I wonder who's saying that. I have no idea.
A box or a balloon?
I mean, sometimes the balloons they're not pointing anywhere, but sometimes the text isn't even in a balloon at all. Sometimes it's just text sitting in the frame. And then maybe in the next frame there won't be any talking at all. And I understand that she probably wants to preserve the art in the frame, but then in the next one there will be text, and then it just goes on and on and on. Anyway, next thing. Sometimes the font's hard to read. It's better in the later stuff. In the early and middle stuff, the font, I mean, it's handwritten. She doesn't have bad handwriting, but I'm assuming it gets scaled down at some point. Something screws up handwriting. Blah, blah, blah. Make a handwriting font. It doesn't take that long. Breaking up the archive with non-canon pages. She does this like 500 million times in her comic. She did it with the 4th of July. All of a sudden, 4th of July, person riding on fireworks. Whoop-de-ding-dong. Nobody cares. Character bios. You put that in a character bio page. Don't put it in your archive. It breaks up the story, what little story you have, but I get to that later. The list just keeps going on and on and on. I'm trying to read through the archive, trying to learn about this person, because I'm sure at some point it's probably based on the actual person or people that she knows or something, but it's hard because all of a sudden it's broken up with more crap again telling us of how she's going to some convention or something. I also want to say about her angles, a lot of the blogics that we read are not as interesting because the person leads an interesting life as much as the angles and showing what the heck the person's doing from a different angle. But it'll be like a whole entire episode. I mean, you can even look at the most current episode. I don't even know what episode it is because there's no... Oh, July 25th episode. It's kind of like a three-quarter from the left, three-quarter from the left, three-quarter from the left, three-quarter from the left, close-up, straight-on close-up of a bag of chips or something, and then a three-quarter from the right of some DVDs. Oh, they're DVDs. That's right. It's like... I mean, I know my comic's not a shining beacon of things from different angles, but I'm also not trying to do a Blomic, Blogic, blah, 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 blah. I don't have real people in my comic. So, you know, I have talked about in the past other women's Blogics, Blomics, blah, blah, that are from interesting angles. And I know Fess knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, are you talking about from visual angles or, like, taking a different look at something, you know, like, metaphorically, like, this is my life and I see it this way in my mind and this is how I'm presenting it? Or are you actually talking about, like, the view of how you're seeing the comic visually?
I'm talking it visually. It drives me nuts. Even if you go to the episode before that, it's like a picture of a corner of a room and then it's behind her head, then it's like three-quarter from the left again, three-quarter from the left again, straight on. And then everything's kind of rotated 45 degrees to the left, and it's kind of like I'm getting nauseous. Anyway.
Well, it's I'm guessing it's just recreating looking around and such. I mean, I don't find the construction of the comic as much of a deal, except from a little bit of inconsistency with how speech is presented. Mm-hmm. I was clicking through. There was like one where someone was singing that it wasn't in speech bubbles, which is actually fairly common to do because it emphasizes of how much surrounding or how uncontained the voice is while singing. So singing is a good example of something to be not in a bubble. Sometimes when you don't have a speech bubble with the tail, is because they're not in the frame, and it's usually connected to the person who was last speaking. Sometimes, like I've done this actually recently in my comic, where there two people are talking, Fess and Emmy were talking, but I kind of make it obvious of who's saying what because of the names that were involved, and also by then you should know the characters and you know that's what they'd be saying. It's all about how you handle it, and how you got to. Maybe if obviously you are having an issue with this, maybe this person should have a proofer or somebody to look at. It's like, does this make sense to you? But personally, I don't think I got too lost by it. As far as the art style, the light backgrounds are, I guess it is a style. I've seen it before. But I think in some cases they should be a little bit darker. Even the weights of the people, the foreground, should be a bit darker. I'm not entirely sure how. I think they're doing it in pencil and just inking over the pencil and not erasing. I'm not entirely sure how they're doing this, but I'd almost recommend trying a different art style. Try some actual more pencil shading. And you can also, when you do pencil shading, you can darken it a bit by adjusting the gamma in your image editor. That's one way I figured out how to do it. There's mess around with the settings if you really want to present a good pencil drawing with lots of shading and variation. Just make sure you got your dark in any monotone. Which would be monotone, meaning a variation from the absolute lightest to the absolute darkest. You want to make sure you have the absolute lightest and the absolute darkest. In this case, you want to have dark blacks and you want to have your whites, as well as a good range in between, if you want to go that route. It gets kind of, not messy, but it kind of gets lost in itself a little bit because there's not enough things that have enough darkness to themselves. It's basically everything is a bit of an outline, and I think this comic could really pop a bit more if you either focused on maybe doing a little bit more of a grayscale or an outright inking black and white with doing some more hatchwork and hard lines in black and white. Expand your expand your artist capabilities and create a little bit more things. Otherwise, the art is actually fairly nice. It's the lines are good. People look fairly decent. It doesn't look messy. It looks like a calm hand is drawing this for the most part. So there is some talent behind there. As far as blogs go, not really that into blogs that much, but I think there's a lot of potential here. It could be a lot better than what it currently is, but that can be said for like tons of comics. But one thing I have to hand it to you, you have random on your site spelt with a 4 for A. For whatever the reason that was, you at least don't have your URL with a 4 for an A in the URL, because that kind of, that's part of our URL hang-ups. You don't have dashes, but you have weird numbers in weird places. And I think Aaron would agree with me.
Oh, yeah.
So that is randomaxcomics.com. Check that out. And I'm pretty sure...
Can I say like 2 seconds of more stuff about it? Because...
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, because I thought of a bunch of stuff. I see what you mean about the pencils and pens, and that's why what I think she does is I think she pencils the whole thing, and I think she outlines little pieces of it with pen. And I think, and then also, I would like, I guess I would have liked to have seen improvement throughout the archive. And also, more on the angles. I was talking about the angles, and it kind of threw you for a second. If you pretend you're a security camera,
mm-hmm.
that's what almost the whole entire comic feels like. You're watching her through security cameras.
Well, maybe that's the thing. Who knows?
I don't know. Anyway.
If that's the case, add a little red dot with recording next to it.
Yes!
Big Brother is watching you.
That would be perfect.
Oh, we're all darky here. And, I think that has to bring us to a close for the Webcomic Beacon. Anything else you want to add? Oh, crap. There's one thing we got to mention.
What?
The draw to win Jenny Everywhere Wagon Webcomic yes. Battle Trading Card Contest.
That is a... You got it. You got it, man. You nailed it.
Yes, we have our winners.
Ding, 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 ding.
And we have... we had a total of... I think about 125 votes. I might be slightly off, but our first place is with 51% of the vote, with 67 votes. Benj Christensen's version of Jenny Everywhere has won first place. He had done a couple of Jenny Everywhere comics. One was called Infinity Apartment, which was done a while back. It's on his Comic Space, I believe. And as well as one that he's currently doing, though the update is a little inconsistent right now, but it's called the Jenny Everywhere Chronicles, which is looking very promising. Just if he can update a little bit more frequently, that'd be more awesome. Second place, we have, I forget his name. I think it's Jacob of awesomepedia.org. And it sounds like he's going to be starting his own, at least a little Jenny Everywhere comic, so I'll be looking forward to that.
I like the style of number two a lot.
Yeah,
it's nice little kind of a cel-shaded kind of a style.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, I see that he's sort of borrowed my... The color scheme for the Jenny that I created, which I have released as go ahead and use that color scheme. No, I like it. He doesn't use it completely, but I do like the character. That was one of my favorites, and he was actually one of the last people to submit. And we actually got really close to, my goal anyway. I was hoping for at least 10 entrants, and we got 9 of them. So he's second place, and our third place is Zach of Insert Comic Here of Unamused Comics, unamused-comics.com, I believe. And he won third place. He was actually our first entrant, so that was really cool that he placed third. And then after that, the votes kind of dwindled down. At the beginning of the week, they were like really close. Second and third place were really close. And it actually that I don't know what I'm saying anymore, but voter turnout was awesome. But go ahead. You say stuff.
Okay. Zach, yours was awesome, and you're a really nice guy for the most part, and thank you for submitting and being the first one. It was awesome. So, but
make a comic with her in it.
I know.
Add her somewhere. Do it. Even one strip. I'd love to see her doing something.
He's not on right now, but I'll tell him later to do that because, I mean, that fits in with even his comic. I mean, that could basically become a character in his comic, like, right there.
Right.
But at the bottom there, the last one that got no votes, who is that from?
That is from the Book of PDR. That's Patrick's. And actually, that one and the one that Ben Christensen did are the only two that did anything where it shows her going between worlds, which I actually really liked to see that. So kind of ironic, first place and then, you know, technically last place where they do that. So that was pretty cool, and I like it. And he has actually one strip as well, which have linked somewhere on theshifterarchive.com, but that is Patrick from the Book of DDR. Let's roll through all of our entrants right here. I'm going to go in the order of which they were received approximately. Zach was, of course, first at Insert Comics here. And then James of the Easy Breather webcomic, easybreather.comicgenesis.com, submitted his model. It's a computer-generated comic, not work safe, because there's some nudity in it. Jenny is clothed, however, and she shows up for a few strips for a small part of the arc. You can find specifically where that is on theshifterarchive.com if you look through the archives. Lucy of the webcomic Cast Paul has entered in a color version of a color rendition of Jenny Everywhere. She typically does really, really wonderful grayscale black and white art, great shading. And that is at Cast Paul with one S, two L's at .zephyr.net. So check that out. Next was Benj with his entry, first place winning. Then it was Patrick of Book of PDR, Book of PDR.com. And I should mention that Benj's Jenny Everywhere Chronicles is at bjccreations.com/Jenny. After that, we have Michael of dinoversusrobot.com. He sent in a submission. Thanks very much. A couple of the last few that just came in basically the last couple of days. Dennis of Maskerman at maskerman.nl submitted his. Tim Winkleman, which is actually a regular of stripfight.org. He has submitted one, and it's basically based off of the one that he did for last year's Draw a Jenny Everywhere comic contest, part due, because stripfight.org did it once already, so they did it again last year. And so he used his version of Jenny Everywhere, brought her back for this contest. So thank you very much. And the last person to submit is Jacob of awesomepedia.org with his that was second place, right?
You lost me, but that's okay. That's what you said. You said that's who won second place.
Yep, that's who won second place. And so that's awesome, 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 awesome. And first, second, and third will be winning a deck from the Wagon webcomic battle trading card game. They will all receive, first place will receive deck zero, which is actually coming out, and it's only going to be selling 100 copies total. And
I already pre-ordered it a long time ago.
I pre-ordered a couple as well, and we're going to send that out to him as soon as they're printed and shipped. And he's also going to get a copy. He's going to have a rare promotional version of Jenny Everywhere. That's what his is going to be. So it's not going to be a part of any deck. So, you know, we'll see what we can do for some giveaways, whatever. He will receive a special copy of that, of his win. His card. Second place will win the Alpha deck, which will have his Jenny Everywhere as the Jenny Everywhere for the Alpha deck. And third place will win the Beta deck, which will have his Jenny Everywhere character as the Jenny Everywhere character for the Beta deck. And those should be coming out, I believe, somewhere towards the end of August, beginning of September. And we'll keep people posted about that on theshifterarchive.com for news related to that. And we're running pretty late without having Tanya here.
I know. I just want to say real quick, the dude that got last place from Book of PDR, I really liked it, and I feel bad that he didn't get a vote, because I liked that one a lot more than some of the other ones. If only because that world on the right looks like she's going into Super Mario Brothers. I don't know. She looks like she's going from Missile Command to Super Mario Brothers. And so maybe they want to make where she goes from video game to video game world. I don't know. But I liked it. So I'm sorry that you got last place.
Well, it's kind of tough when you only make only let people vote for one of nine. But, you know, that's the way it goes, but that doesn't reflect overall likability of any one of these. And you just have a tough decision to choose between, nine of them. So, anyway, we gotta get out of here.
I know.
This has been Fess of FessandErnst.com.
Aaron, DBullComic.com.
And we'll see you next week at WebcomicBeacon.com.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
Hey guys, this is normally where the zinger would end up being at after the end of the show. But this week, go to webcomicbeacon.com/live and hear a 6-minute cut from the break we had earlier. We cut it. It's going to be this week's extra content. So check it out at the Talk Shoe page where we have, we broadcast our recordings each weekend there. So check it out, webcomicbeacon.com/live. Also, I want to thank theshifterarchive.com, the Jenny Everywhere comic archive, as well as wagonwebcomicbattle.com for setting up that contest that we were running the vote for. So go check that website out and see if you're still able to pick up a copy of the Deck Zero of the webcomic-based trading card game. Presently, the pre-sale is all sold out, but keep an eye out for the any leftovers and the up-and-coming alpha and beta decks. See you next week.